I remember it as though it were yesterday. Though it's been more than 40 years since then, history was being made. The end of an old era, the beginning of a new one, and I was there. I was 19 or so, up to Jerusalem from Galilee for Passover. Just a kid, really. It was the year they crucified Jesus, a fellow Galilean. I was stunned, heartbroken. After his death, I just didn't go home. I hung around with some of his followers. Well, in hiding, actually. Then on Sunday, word came that he had risen from the dead. So I stayed in the city. Oh, those were heady days, with Jesus appearing to the apostles and others for weeks on end. And then he ascended, went up into heaven. We were to wait in the city, the apostles told us. Something about power and witnessing and the Holy Spirit. So we waited, about 120 of us, meeting morning and evening, talking, reading scripture, praying. Nearly 10 days we waited like that. Then one morning, when we gathered together for early prayer, about 8 o'clock or so, the building where we were meeting was hit by a whirlwind. Well, so it seemed. You could hear the howling of the wind, but you couldn't feel it in the room. Oh, dear Jesus, someone called out. And then came the flames. Well, they looked like flames. Dancing flames appeared in the room above us. God Almighty, someone called out. Peter was praying loudly, the other apostles joining in. It was eerie when I think about it. Wind that didn't blow, flames that didn't burn. I'd have to imagine it was like the glory of God on the mountain when he appeared to Moses. All over the room, what looked like flames were licking and flaring over people, and as they did, it seemed like the brother or sister would radiate. Joy would flood from their faces, tears coursed down their cheeks, praise filling their lips. Hands were up and down. People were laughing and weeping, kneeling and standing on tiptoes, reaching up, as it were, to God. And then the flames touched me, and I felt it too. I really can't describe how it felt, except that I felt flooded over by God, happy, giddy even, bursting with joy, full. The sounds were amazing too. Moments before, the air had been filled with the sound of a windstorm. Now the room was filled with a murmur of voices, some loud, some soft, all very intense. Oh, but it wasn't Greek or Aramaic like I'm speaking to you now. It seemed like different languages coming from our lips. Powerful, joyful, but different. We were pouring out into the square now, attracting attention. Since Pentecost was a major Jewish festival day, there were thousands of pilgrims in the city from all over the then known world. I didn't know how I could be saying what I was saying, but it felt good to lend my voice to God and just speak out to express the fullness and the joy that I felt within. As I was speaking in what I thought was my own little world, people began to gather around us to listen. A couple of families came by. Then some of them ran off to get others, and, well, soon there were hundreds of people around me and the others. Finally, I seemed to run out of words and just stood there with joy on my face. Someone called to me in a language I didn't know. Tea, I answered in Greek. What? Everybody knew some Greek. Shinetso, he said. Don't stop. Don't stop what? Don't stop saying those beautiful things you are saying about God's greatness. I've never heard anything like it in Cappadocian. Cappadocian? Yes, aren't you from Cappadocia like the rest of us here? He pointed to those who were gathered around. I shook my head. It's like you're saying the Psalms, but in our own language, so beautiful in our mother tongue. How do you know our language? Well, I was about to answer, but someone across the square was shouting that we must be drunk. Peter was trying to deal with it. He climbed on the steps of the houses and gestured for the people to be quiet. Peter raised his hand. We're not drunk, brothers and sisters. I mean, for a start, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But what you're witnessing is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy that your sons and daughters will prophesy. God's Holy Spirit has come upon us just like Jesus told us he would. Peter said a lot more that I can't remember, but the crowd was hanging on every word, and he didn't go easy on them. Well, let me read it to you from Luke's scroll. This is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Yes, and on my servants and my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day the Lord comes. It will be that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved by God to you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even if you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by the hand of lawless men, crucified and killed, whom God raised up, having freed him from the agony of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh also will dwell in hope, because you will not leave my soul in the grave, neither will you allow your Holy One to decay. You made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may tell you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was his soul left in the grave, nor did his flesh see decay. This Jesus God raised up, to which we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted by the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. For David didn't ascend to the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know certainly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Yes, that's what Dr. Luke recorded. No, Peter didn't go easy on them. This Jesus whom you crucified, he said, God has raised from the dead and exalted on high. You could hear an audible gasp. Conviction was all over the square. Someone called out, what shall we do? Without missing a beat, Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and your children and to all who are afar off, anyone whom the Lord our God calls. Where, someone called, where can we be baptized? Bethesda, another shouted. There's water at the pool of Bethesda. So the crowd started moving in that direction. Across town, through the narrow streets, pushed this strangely quiet crowd of thousands, down the grade, down the steps, until they came to the waters of the pool. They stood at the edges, 5 to 10 deep all around. Peter was there by now, and called for the apostles to join him in the water. Not enough. Then he motioned for me and the other disciples to help. It was still. All you could hear was weeping from some and deep sighs from another. Peter looked out at the multitude assembled around the pool and spoke quietly, "This is a baptism of repentance in the name of Jesus the Nazarene, whom God raised from the dead and exalted to the highest place. You are loved by God. When you are baptized, I want to assure you that by your confession you are fully forgiven by God. You will receive the same gift of the Holy Spirit that you have seen upon us this day." He invited people to come to the pool, and they came by the scores. We would baptize them, and they'd come up spluttering and laughing and singing. All over the pool of Bethesda that day we saw thousands Someone counted 3,000 people praising God and worshipping. I don't know if they were speaking in other languages or not. All I know was that on that day and that place, it seemed like the languages of all nations were turned to God on high, who had brought salvation and the joy of his Holy Spirit upon ordinary people who sought him, from Jerusalem to Cappadocia and beyond. Pentecost. Ah, Pentecost. That was the day that God began to pour out his Spirit, and he's never stopped since. Over the years, I've seen the Spirit come in many ways, sometimes like that day, but mostly quietly, sometimes in jubilation. But it's the presence of the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, that matters, not our emotions or the circumstances. Pentecost. Ah, yes, I was there, and I've never been the same since. You have seen a Pentecost, haven't you? Haven't you? You've felt the touch of God's Spirit, haven't you? As I see it, the Holy Spirit is graciously and unobtrusively busy all over the place. He's the quiet helper, the unpretentious friend. The helper is quietly at work in the sincere concerns of a friend for our health, in those who take a stand against injustice, in the grace of folk who go the second mile, in the inner resources we discover in times of crisis, in those who dare to go against the tide of popular opinion, in the grace that enables us to admit when we are wrong, in the resilience of people who fight for the rights of others, in those who surrender some of their rights for the larger good. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the helper, is quietly at work. In times when we share the gospel in spite of our inadequacy, in finding joy in unexpected places, in taking on responsibilities that we once thought beyond us, in refusing to let the greed of society take over our soul, in giving thanks always, even through the hard times in life, in rising above past failures and putting past hurts behind us, in finding a central core of peace in the midst of turmoil, in daring to laugh in situations where some would curse, in knowing ourselves to be the children of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the helper, is quietly at work when we find ourselves knowing that we are loved, even when we have been unlovable. May God's Spirit touch each one of us.